26 minutes past the hour. Welcome back to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Sam in Atlanta says, hey, Pedro, have you got strippers in the studio today? No, man. That's the Saturday night show. Johnny Taco and his All-Stars, 10 p.m. Pacific time, 1 a.m. Eastern time. That's right, each and every Saturday night right here on the Sports Byline and SB Nation Radio Network. Now, I've had one great guest. I've got two great guests, right? From one friend to another friend, I'm talking about the Big Apple's very own Socrates Palmer, the man with the unforgettable name. Socrates, how's life treating you, man? How's that baby Daryl?
Life is going good. Treating me good. Thank you, Pedro. Baby girl's good. She's 7 years old, second grade. Sophia, she's doing well.
Okay.
How are you doing?
Well, I'm pretty good. Let's talk about her just for a second. I know you're big into education. What do you do outside of normal parents as far as compelling, making your kid want to learn more and motivating them to learn, things like that? Talk to me about that for a second.
The little strategies that I do, I try to play games. She's big on watching game shows. She likes Jeopardy. So I try to do some Jeopardy stuff with her. Spelling is a big thing in her grade. So every week she's got a spelling test. So I try to play little games, flashcards, try to keep it fun, you know, kind of like stealth learning, you know. And she's very receptive with that. I think most kids are. You've got to keep it, you know, you can't be so rigid and give them a little different taste of what they learn in school, you know.
You know,
the format how to learn.
Back in my day, all we had was the newspapers. We had three afternoon newspapers here in San Francisco, the News Call, the Bulletin, and the SF Examiner. And we would get one of the papers at home, and my uncle would say to me, if you read an article to me, I'll give you a dollar. And he goes, and if you can understand what you're reading, I'll give you two, okay? So I was busting my butt to comprehend what I was reading in the whole nine yards. And that I always wanted to read, but that sort of motivated me a little bit more. You hear what I'm saying? Because, you know, when you're a young kid, that'd be offering like $20 now.
Hey, bribery is always a good thing. Motivation. Whatever works. You know, okay. I don't think there's an exact formula. But definitely reading the newspaper, that's how I started reading. Yeah. I remember reading Bill Gallo's cartoons in the Daily News, New York Daily News.
So all right.
All
right, let's switch gears. Let's talk some boxing. Of course, Socrates, the boxing czar from the Big Apple. Talk to me about Canelo Alvarez and Triple G, Gennady Golovkin. Golovkin, a big favorite coming in, and it didn't work out that way. It was a draw after 12 rounds. Adelaide Byrd had it 10 rounds to 2 for Canelo Alvarez. You got a problem with that score?
Yes, I do. That's very hard for you. It's a really break down and say that he won 10 rounds out of that fight. I just can't see it. I respect the job of being a judge, but you know what? That's just a bad look. Bad look. And universally, she's considered one of the worst judges. And she continues to get big-time fights, you know, which is sad. The two worst scorers this year were made, I don't want to sound like I'm being a sexist, but they were made by women. Wellesca Roldan of New York in Australia with the Manny Pacquiao score. And then last night, I mean, just horrible. I personally scored the fight 7-5 for Golovkin. He could even go on 8-4. I just think that Canelo didn't do enough. Okay. 10 rounds, that's insane.
The last time we had a controversial scoring like this in a middleweight title fight, we go back to April of 1987, April 1987, and Sugar Ray Leonard getting the 10 rounds to 2 over Marvin Hagler by JoJo Guerra. And everybody went berserk on that one. Nobody's saying a whole lot here, and the Nevada State Athletic Commission's defending her this morning, saying, well, that's the way she saw it.
No. I mean, was it the decision overall, was it any worse than what Andre Ward got in the first Kovalev fight? Probably not, but just 10-2 was just, it's just indefensible. Another really bad stinker was, on a lesser note, was Felix Sturm and Oscar De La Hoya.
Yeah,
I don't know if you recall that one.
Yeah. Of course, they were setting De La Hoya up for the fight with Bernard Hopkins. And, of course, hey, here was the steal, the absolute betting steal of the entire world. I mean, to bet Hopkins over De La Hoya, he was like 4 weight classes bigger than him. He was dedicated. Oscar had cut his hand, his right or his left hand. his left hand. He had cut it. They were cutting the hand wraps off his hands about 3 days before the fight, and they cut into his hand. He had to have like 3 or 4 stitches between his fingers, okay? All this kind of good stuff. I mean, he wasn't going to win. No way, no how. So I lined up there to bet on Bernard Hopkins. I was the only one cashing in my ticket afterwards. It was like the loneliest place in the world.
I mean, Bernard made a living out of whipping up welterweights.
Smaller dudes, of course, that's where he... But so did Marvin Hagler, didn't he?
Yes, I remember your article a couple of years ago. You broke it down. Yeah, I mean, it happens, you know. I mean, Canelo, this is the first time he fought at a full-fledged middleweight limit. I don't know. I scored a 7-5. How did you...
I'll go anywhere you guys want to go because I had the volume off and I was trying to do a gig at the same time, so I'm not going to pass comment as far as the judging is concerned. If I didn't judge it, I'm not going to say anything. Let me reach out to you on Anthony Joshua. You don't need Viagra to watch him.
Anthony Joshua, I think Anthony Joshua. Let's say if he fought Chris Doe 10 years ago. Does he survive that knockdown? Maybe not, but that's boxing. So it's a young man's sport. I support Anthony Joshua. I believe that he is the best out of these heavyweights, and I guess time will tell. I think he's still got to polish up certain things. I think his defense is very little to be desired, and that's a dangerous thing in the heavyweight division. But I support Joshua. I think he's probably the most exciting heavyweight we've had in a long time, and I would favor him over Wilder, and I actually maybe even Ortiz, just because of the fact he's so much younger than the other guys, okay. Just off of raw power.
Big, black, and lovable, and fearful, and how can I put this? And scary. He's all of the above. I mean, in those post-fight interviews, he gets a little soft. And then anyway, when he's fighting, there's nothing soft about him in there. But I'm just telling you, I really think that he's got a chance to maybe be the next guy. I mean, maybe Ali was – I mean, maybe Tyson was the last guy that really did it. I mean, Lennox Lewis, I don't know. Lennox Lewis really didn't turn my crank, per se. But maybe this guy here can really, really generate a worldwide attention for the heavyweight championship once again. And once he does that, can I say, he'll have the world by the you-know-what. Plus, he's drawing 75 or 80,000 people in Wembley Stadium. He's selling out in about an hour.
Yeah, I mean, you always say that, oh, they got to come to America and this and that and that. He doesn't need to. America probably needs him. Yeah. I mean, you're right. He's selling out these massive soccer stadiums, and the Brits, no one hypes up a fighter like the Brits do, so...
No. But here's what's up, though. You got to give the Brits props, though, because when their guys fight our guys and you watch the British TV and they're in over the heads, they admit it. They come right out and say it. They don't cheerlead like Jim Lampley and the boys. And speaking of cheerleading, what about Max Kellerman? Was he in shock when Chocolito got lit up like a White House Christmas tree or what? Does he have a piece of Chocolito?
Probably as much as Dan Rayfield, because Dan Rayfield was the first one pumping him up as the best pound for pound, this, that, the third. I remember you, when we had a conversation and you were telling me about the jumps, and I really didn't think it was a big deal from 112 to 115, and the man just got old overnight and he didn't have the same crack as he went up in weight, you know?
Like Hector Martinez just said, though, that Thai guy, he's rugged and he's left-handed and he just comes to beat you up.
Yeah, no, the guy's a beast. And if you break down his record, I mean, his record, his losses happened very early. Very early. I mean, I'm not going to say it's Pacquiao-esque, but it sure reminded you of him. I mean, he was a buzzsaw.
He also had a body that looked sort of cyborgish, if you know what I mean.
You think he's on
the... I'm just saying, Flintstone vitamins, I just don't know. Anyway, Socrates, all the best. Have a great week with your daughter, man. I thank you so much for your appearance today. You are, like I say, a man of wisdom. I love you.
Thank you, Pedro. The love is mutual, brother. Thank you.
The great Socrates Palmer, folks, on SB Nation, of course, Sports Byline Radio. This is Ring Talk, live worldwide.